But the idea of creating terminator seed, non-renewable seeds, patented seeds, is trying to stop the urge of life from renewal. And it's worse than that, because not only is it trying to control the seed, it's then trying to criminalize the farmers who save seed and exchange seed. And this is the reason I save seeds. This is the reason I started Navdanya. This is the reason I do the work I do. We've created 150 community seed banks in India to reclaim seed as a commons. We've written laws that say seeds and animals and plants are not inventions. So in India, it's not patentable. And we have laws on farmers' rights, that farmers are the first breeders, and their rights cannot be alienated. And I do hope some of you will find your way to Navdanya. I met some of people who have already been, and I know the young people who are going through the course come and visit. This finding ways to extract, to make profit, and turn renewability of life into non-renewability, to turn the abundance of life into scarcity, is what the fake food is all about.
You're listening to Vandana Shiva on Real Food, Real Farming. This is Independent Alternative Radio. To get copies of this program and her book, Terra Viva, just call us at 1-800-444-1977. Again, that's 1-800-444-1977. Or go online, our website, alternativeradio.org. That's alternativeradio.org.
So the fake food begins with the high fructose corn syrup made from GMO corn, and you never hear of the harm it's doing. And because it's addictive, in America, it's put in baby food, it's put in sausages, it's put in everything because it creates the urge to eat more. But now babies and children are getting cirrhosis of the liver, because this molecule goes and hits straight away. Because food is the currency of life, it is the communication between the soil and the plants. I want to just share with you my understanding of this, that if as food as currency, then eating is a conversation. And there's actual research being done by brilliant scientists who show the difference between eating fresh organic food and the conversation that goes on between the cells in your gut and the food. And when they put chemical food, the discordance that goes on. And through that communication is the disease. I've written, eating is a conversation between the soil, the plants, the cells in our gut, the cells in our food, and between our gut and our brain. Eating is an intelligent act at the deepest cellular and microbial level. The cellular communication is the basis of health and well-being. It is also the root of disease. Poisoned food creates disease. We might be ignorant about the links between food and health, but our cells are more intelligent. Our body is more intelligent than the reductionist mechanical mind contemporary humans have developed, where we think of food as fuel and our body as a machine. You know, when I go visit schools, the first question I ask children is, what is food? And because they're learning from textbooks, not from their grandmothers, they get up and say, our food is the fuel that runs our bodies, which is a machine. So we have so degraded food and so degraded our bodies to not know anymore what food is. And it's in that confusion that the fake food system is coming in. High fructose corn syrup was the first. Then you might have seen suddenly the Impossible Burger, the burger without meat. And the person who founded it, Pat Brown, his name is, said, I found the most ecological alternative. What does he use? GMO soya, which has killed the monarch butterfly. The glyphosate is causing disease. And he calls it an ecological alternative. And the Impossible Burger shows you the future towards which they are going, because they are looking at actually patenting food now, elements of food. Because everything, if everything you add is synthetic, there's a patent for it. 14 patents on that Impossible Burger. 40. You're really eating a patent monopoly and GMO soya. But it doesn't stop there. It goes further. Because as long as there's an alternative, why would people go for rubbish like this? So you have to create a narrative, just like the narrative that started to make people feel first that organic is backward. You know, the advertisements in Europe by the industry were, it's dirty to use organic manure. You know, it's black, it's dirty. And then they'd bring ads to say, urea is white, it's so clean. And that's what changed the mindset. And there's an attempt to change our mindset about food and not just accept fake food, but accept it as the only solution to climate change. Now, this is where it goes crazy. Because it is, you know, it is true. I've written a book called Soil, Not Oil. 50% of all greenhouse gas emissions in the world come from a globalized and industrialized food system. Emissions in the production, emissions in the food miles, emissions through destroying the forest for soya in the Amazon, palm oil in Indonesia, comes from packaging, processing. All of this is hugely energy intensive. That's 50%. Now, will more industrialization, more long distance transport, more energy use solve this problem or make it worse? It'll make it worse. But with it, a pseudoscience is being created. And that pseudoscience is animals are to blame. Animals are causing climate change. They're not. Because animals, as part of the biosphere, of course they have these short cycles of emitting a little bit of methane, but that methane comes back to the carbon cycle. And in 10 years' time, there's no methane. In India, farmers used to have 20 to 30 head of cattle in each family. In the plains of America, the bison used to roam. You have the reindeer. Now, if animals were constantly emitting methane and it was building up, we'd have a very stinking planet. Like a waste dump, you know, it has a stink. Or when you go past these factory farms in America, they call them CAFOs, the concentrated animal farm operation. You just go past them, there's such a stink. That stink is methane. But our free-range animals are not stinking. There's a little bit, but you can see not just the bad science, because the biogenic methane, it doesn't build up. But you just suddenly out of the blue, you know, animals are the problem, kill them. Ireland is talking about killing 1 million sheep. New Zealand is taxing all the animals for their burps. And next to you in Netherlands, they had this huge attack on farmers. And they're using the same excuse. And they want 1/3 of the farms wiped out. No. The solution is make all the farms organic and biodynamic. You'll get rid of the nitrogen problem. Because the nitrogen problem is an industrial agriculture problem. The ecological solutions solve those problems. You know, on our farm, Even the scientists who did the study for us, I think we did a 20-year study on the valley, and they couldn't believe it, you know, because everyone thinks you put an input, then you have that object. So you put nitrogen fertilizer, you'll have nitrogen. In chemical soils, the nitrogen has depleted 22%. In organic soils, we're not applying any external input. The soil system is creating nitrogen up by 100%. So I think it's time to get rid of this input-output thinking. Because living systems create what the systems need and what the systems related to them need. The mycorrhizal fungi creates, through its process, what the plant needs. But when Roundup started, and you know, all these chronic diseases started, neurological disorders started, and the graphs were showing it's going that way, and every time I'd show those graphs, the Monsanto lobbyists would attack. Correlation is not causation. So, but you know, a good scientist says, oh, if there's a correlation here, let me look for what the causation is. You don't escape from seeking causation. So there's an MIT scientist that I've come to know, and I said, okay, But let's begin with autism. What are the consequences of glyphosate? We know all that. What are the symptoms of autism? And how are the two related? And she did this. And Stephanie Seneff is her name, and she's done a book on glyphosate. But Monsanto always used to say that glyphosate is totally safe for us because our cells don't have the shikimate pathway. And everyone said, yeah, so it can't do any impact. But I know other scientists like Professor Huber and all who pointed out, he says, the bacteria in the soil have a shikimate pathway. The bacteria in our gut have a shikimate pathway. And this disruption by glyphosate is having huge increases. So the bacteria in our gut produce three aromatic amino acids, tryptophan, tyrosine, and phenylalanine, through the shikimate pathway. Since our cells don't have the pathway, we have to have these bacteria in order to be able to process all this. These essential amino acids are precursors to the neurotransmitters, dopamine, serotonin, melatonin, and adrenal, as well as thyroid hormone, folate, and vitamin E. The killing of gut bacteria leads to deficiencies in this important biological molecules and impairs our neurological functions. Now, if your entire fake food will be using more GMOs, more Roundup, more synthetic chemicals added to pretend, you know, like in this Impossible Burger, they actually talk, they made a fake blood called heme to make it look like meat. And I can't understand. I said, you don't want to eat meat, don't eat meat. There are lots of vegetables. But why do you want to not eat meat, attack everyone, kill every cow, and then say, I want blood? It doesn't hang together for me. For the industry, I can understand. They'll tell any lie. DDT is good for you is how they sell DDT. But for the people who are getting convinced by fake food and the fake narrative and the fake science and the fake economics, that's what puzzles me. And it puzzles me particularly because those who really think they're solving the climate problem are running down this false line fastest. Fake food as a climate solution is a fake solution because it's avoiding the real path we must follow, deeper integration between animals, plants, and trees, which is what integrated farming is about. More biodiversity. If the planet could cool itself through the biosphere, then our farming must mimic that process to intensify photosynthesis, to intensify biodiversity. And our work has shown that the more you intensify biodiversity, the more you recycle the carbon and nitrogen, the more the soil becomes healthy, you produce more nutrition per acre. We don't measure yield per acre, but what's the point of measuring nutritionally empty commodities? Food is about eating. Food is about nourishment. And if it's nutritionally empty food, you're going to get all kinds of sicknesses and disease. Because we do the soil work, and we had, you know, in the chemical soils, the zinc had gone down 34%. And in the organic soils, it had gone up 24%. So this public health specialist had come and was visiting us in Navdanya. And she saw this data and she says, now I understand why our young people are depressed. Because she does brain chemistry. And she found that half of Australia's teenagers were depressed. All of them had zinc deficiency. But if there's no zinc in your soil and no zinc on your food, you will have zinc deficiency. You will have magnesium deficiency and have attention deficit. Yeah? But the chemical world just wants another chemical solution for each of these things. So there's a British meta study covering more than 400 studies that has found that organic foods can have up to 60% more beneficial nutrition than chemical food. It's interesting, you know, a paper comes out in a nutrition journal or in a toxicology journal. For 2 days, it's there, measuring the nutritional emptiness of industrial food and how much more phytochemicals, how much more nutrients the real food has. And then you cannot Google that article. just as much as when the whole issue of immunity came up. Now, everyone knows that organisms are healthy when they have immunity, any organism. If a plant is organically fed, it is more resilient and will not be impacted by pests. There'd be the same pests in the field, but the chemically grown field will have attack of pests, and the organically grown field will not have an attack of pests. That's what Howard saw when he says lots of insects and no pests. So we're growing more and more nutritionally empty commodities at higher and higher cost, and then we're turning it magically into cheap food. How can a high-cost production system lead to cheap food? Because the structures of subsidies, the structures of trade, the structures of 400 billion is the agriculture subsidy that makes industrial food cheap enough to dump on third world countries. So they become dependent. Self-sufficient countries who were growing their own food are now importing. And it takes one little instability in the war, one collapse in supply chains for people to have no food. So real food, real farming, for me, is the biggest climate solution. And we've done this work. When you have a climate disaster, what do you want? You want seeds that are resilient, and we've saved the seeds that are resilient, climate tolerant, salt tolerant, flood tolerant, drought-tolerant seeds. And they're able to survive and come back after a cyclone, after a drought. You want good resilience in the soil. Where does the resilience of the soil come from in a time where climate change is leading to more floods and more droughts? You need better holding of water. If your soil can hold more water, the flood is not severe. The flood is worst in areas where the soil has been totally panned. And if there's a drought, you want moisture in your soil. 1% organic matter holds 160,000 liters of water in a hectare. The soil is a water reservoir. Healthy living soils are a water reservoir. Healthy living soils are not just the resilience and adaptation to climate change, but they are the mitigation. And now so many studies are being done. On an average, basically, they're showing that if we stop fossil fuel use, in 10 years, we can draw down the excess carbon dioxide through intensifying the biosphere's capacity to do photosynthesis. And the more the fungal population, the more the photosynthesis increases. So we're in a very exciting moment where the real science is backing real food and real farming, making connections between the soil and our gut, making connections between the biodiversity outside and the biodiversity within us, not just the biodiversity in our gut microbiome, but increasingly what's really inspiring me is the shift that is taking place from what I have called the monoculture of the mind. The monoculture of the mind thinks of only one value. Soya beans are valuable, just grow soya. Finish off the prairies, just grow GM soya. BT cotton, just make everything BT cotton. Eucalyptus, just plant eucalyptus plantations. And this monoculture of the mind is what has destroyed biodiversity. But that's not how minds are. Minds, because they are the relational world that's in constant co-creation, this biodiverse world has a biodiverse mind. And we have biodiverse minds. The ability to see in the whole as well as analyze in the small. That's what good science is about. To see the system and then look at the part. But the illusion is when you only look at the part and deny the whole. That's where the destruction starts to happen. And that destruction is, of course, destroying the earth, but worse, it is, you know, I often feel that the vicious way in which the poison wakers who are killing life on Earth attack those who are protecting life on Earth is like contemporary witch hunts. You know, 1493 was the papal bull that justified Columbus's, you know, going and take over the territories on our behalf. But I always joke and say, you know, at that time at least there was a god, and then there was a pope, and then below the pope were the kings and queens, and then the kings and queens found adventurers like Columbus. What do we have now? The corporations are the creators, they play God. They are the government, they've hijacked our governments. They are kings and queens, they run everything. And they are the merchant adventurers and the pirates of our time. Just more sophisticated, but it's the same old thing. Because everywhere the biodynamic meat movement is being attacked. In France, in Italy, cases are being filed. When you say your food is healthier, you are misleading the public. You know, so we are living in very Orwellian times. Lies are truth, and truth are lies. Health is sickness, and sickness is health. So in this moment, the real becomes an awakening. But of course, the real can be terribly troublesome in the mechanistic reductionist view, because in a mechanistic view, we are separate from nature. Everything is a machine, everything's an object. And in that dead world, you can't create a knowing except through violence. That's why Bacon suggested violence, torture of nature. But in a living world, knowledge is interaction and dialogue, like food is a conversation. Knowing is a conversation between self-organized, intelligent beings. And at this time, as so many crises are converging, which actually have the same roots. The same problem, the same fossil fuel world creates climate change. The same fossil fuel chemicals cause extinction of species, because if insecticides are sprayed to kill insects, insects will disappear. If herbicides are designed to kill plants, the biodiversity of your plants will disappear. So the real is the real lived relationships in a living world. Then the epistemological gap doesn't happen. If we are separate and the object is inert and you're the knowing person, you'll always keep thinking, how do you know, how do you know, how do you know? And then objective knowledge, they call it, becomes totally subjective knowledge of projecting onto the world your illusions. But in the real world, life itself is the teacher. In the real world, intelligence is distributed. And there's such amazing work being done on intelligence of bacteria, intelligence of plants, intelligence of animals, intelligence of soil organisms. The mycorrhizal fungi is an intelligent organism that's making choices at every moment. What mineral to take up, what toxics to reject. And in this world of vibrant life, rich diversity, and deep intelligence, practicing real farming, eating real food, in my view, becomes the revolutionary act for life, freedom, and health. Thank you.
You were just listening to Vandana Shiva on Real Food, Real Farming. She spoke in Sweden in early 2023. Vandana Shiva is an internationally renowned voice for sustainable development and social justice. She's the author of many books. Her latest is Terra Viva. This program is produced by Alternative Radio. We're an independent nonprofit in our 38th year. We're supported solely by individuals just like you. We feature such voices as Arundhati Roy, Tariq Ali, Medea Benjamin, and Noam Chomsky. And we have a series of Vandana Shiva programs. To access our complete audio and book catalog, just go to our website, alternativeradio.org. Again, our website where we are podcasting, alternativeradio.org. For copies of today's program, Vandana Shiva on Real Food, Real Farming, and for her inspiring latest book, Terra Viva, just call us at 1-800-444-1977. That's 1-800-444-1977. or you can go online on our website, alternativeradio.org. That's alternativeradio.org. Printed transcripts, PDFs, and MP3s of this program are free of charge. Just call us, 1-800-444-1977. Joe Ritchie is our general manager and editor. I'm David Barsamyan. Thank you for listening. We go out with sitar maestro Debu Chaudhary playing the raga Mian Ki Malhar, recorded live in New Delhi in 2010.
Support for Fun Drive.